Welcome to the Married and Naked podcast. I'm Tammy, founder of the blog Married and Naked, certified sexuality coach and speaker.
And I'm Joel, TV host, motivational speaker, and the guinea pig to the lessons you're about to learn.
We're high school sweethearts married over 2 decades, and we're on a mission to help you create the marriage you desire and deserve. Let's get naked. Welcome into the Married and Naked podcast, everybody. Happy to have you here with us today.
I am so happy to be here. I feel like we're going to get real today.
Get real. Yes, we are going to get real. But I do have to admit, before we get real with each other, well, I'm going to get real with you.
Uh-oh.
And you already know this, but the audience doesn't. You and I have recorded this already once.
Yes, we have. I feel like, wow, we're holding true to the topic.
We're being vulnerable here. I made a big, huge mistake. We had recorded it, and I was in the final stages of editing, and I do not know what happened, but somehow I just deleted our entire audio files and could not get it back.
I would love to say this happens to everybody. I'm not sure that it does, but obviously in the intro, it says I'm a TV host. I've hosted shows for 20 years now, and I remember the first time it happened to me. You do too.
Such a bummer.
It was at a paper mill in Washington, state of Washington, Holcomb, Washington. I live in Southern California. I had to fly all the way back up there with the entire crew because the camera dropped while we were up there and we lost the entire audio file of the show. And I didn't know it until we got home.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that was an expensive mistake. Luckily, this one's not expensive. It's just time. Time and effort. And I did tell my son, our son, as soon as I did it, what had happened, I said, you know, Dawson, I lost the podcast. I deleted the whole podcast. And he's like, Mom, that's why you saved 2 copies. I was like, thanks a lot. You are not helpful at all. But
oh my gosh.
I did learn a valuable lesson. And you better believe I will be saving 2 files of this particular episode.
Learning from a teenager.
That's right. So here we go on round 2. Of this, and we'll just be better. It's just going to make it so much better.
Well, now I know the topic, so I'm 152% prepared.
All right, good.
Which is not true, but go ahead.
All right, well, we are on lesson 2 of our series that we're doing on 10 life-changing marriage lessons. We are going to be covering a very important topic today and a difficult one to talk about, and that is vulnerability. The dictionary defines vulnerability as the quality or state of being exposed to the possibility of being attacked or harmed, either physically or emotionally. And that definition is like, wow, it's no wonder that vulnerability can be so hard to practice. That definition sounds terrifying. Who wants to expose themselves to the possibility of attack, emotional attack, physical attack? That's an incredibly scary thing to do. Vulnerability is obviously a scary place for many of us to go, some of us easier than others. I'm curious, Joel, how do you see vulnerability? Do you see that as a weakness or as a strength?
I think it's both. I'm a guy who grew up in sports, played football in high school, ran track, always played basketball after high school, and I still play basketball to this day, as I know I've confessed many times. And so the first part of vulnerability makes me feel like, wow, that's a weakness, man. If I show my opponent that I'm, you know, lacking in any area, or, you know, don't have complete self-confidence, or I'm down on myself, then I'm showing my weakness and they're going to figure out how to take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. But in a relationship, which is what this podcast is all about, I feel vulnerability, hands down, is one of the biggest strengths that I have. And, you know, it's taken, obviously, getting to know my partner, you, and really getting to go through our ups and downs, our trials, and to really realize that the more vulnerable I am, the more vulnerable you are, the closer we become, and the more we grow.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, it's probably wrong that I feel that way about, you know, that it's a weakness when it comes to sports.
Well, I understand your thought process there in something competitive. Ideally, if you're in a competitive situation, a sport, you're trying to win something, you don't want to show your opponent vulnerability. And I hear that you're saying in a relationship, you're seeing vulnerability as strength. I'm curious, outside of sports and your relationship, how do you see vulnerability? What about in your other relationships?
Personally, it's very easy to tell what state I'm in. So if I try to mask a state, I'm doing myself and anyone around me a disservice. Whatever I'm dealing with, in order for it to really get resolved, the only thing to do is to be vulnerable. So it's definitely a strength in everywhere else. The only part where I feel like it's a weakness is, like you said, you know, you use the word competitiveness. I'm thinking sports, but same thing. You know, it's just being competitive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think many of us grow up seeing vulnerability as a weakness. And I know I did. I thought crying in front of other people showed weakness. Expressing my fears shows weakness. Expressing my insecurities. And I still often feel that way. I find myself often apologizing for being emotional about certain things. I say sorry a lot for crying. You know, I feel weak and embarrassed when I'm feeling, having a lot of feels and a lot of emotions. And I think that's because we, as a generation, for sure, you're my generation, and maybe that's changing as time goes on. But we were taught that those kinds of things showed signs of weaknesses. But over the last couple years, I have really learned that vulnerability is not a weakness. It is a strength. And I began to learn that when I discovered Brené Brown. And if you don't know who she is a shame and vulnerability researcher. I would strongly recommend you look her up on YouTube. She has a fabulous TED Talk on vulnerability. And it really led me down a path of changing my definition of vulnerability. And I've become a huge Brené Brown fan. I have all of her books. I have read them all. And in her book, Rising Strong, Brené Brown says, vulnerability is not winning or losing. It is having the courage to show up and be seen when we have no control over the outcome. Vulnerability is not weakness. It is our greatest measure of strength.
Yeah, so I guess what I said about being competitive is probably not true or not right.
I don't know that it's right or wrong. I think anybody would agree with you in that if you're in that kind of situation. If you're on the basketball court and you're going to be vulnerable and telling somebody, oh, my, what?
I can't juke to the right.
There you go.
They're going to know. Oh,
they're going to take full advantage of that. And your goal in that situation is to not allow them to do that. I think it's interesting how many of us have grown up to see that in everyday situations. We don't want to allow people to know the things about us that are vulnerable. We don't want to expose those things because it's scary and we're afraid. And we've grown up thinking that if you do that, then you're weak. So I think anybody would agree in a sports situation, in the actual game, you don't want to do that. With your teammates and stuff like that, that's a whole other conversation. But I don't think it's a wrong or right kind of answer when it comes to sports. So I'm not trying to shame your answer in any way.
No, and I don't feel like you're trying to shame my answer. I remember when you introduced Brené Brown to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is somebody that you need. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not saying I didn't need it either, because since then I've learned so much from her as well. I love the Netflix special that was out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she talked about what happened after the TED Talk and how it exploded and how she's worked with so many different, not just people, but groups of mm-hmm. people and schools and organizations. And, you know, it's helped me and us in our relationship with me realizing that some of the things that I need to be vulnerable with that I just didn't even know it. I wasn't aware of it. I wasn't trying to hide it or keep it up, but there's some things that I really needed to talk to you about, and it's helped elevate our relationship as a result of that.
Mm-hmm. I do feel a strong connection to her and her message. And I do feel like she started me down a path of really beginning to embrace the idea of vulnerability and see the importance of it and see the qualities that I often said were weakness in myself and begin to see those as strengths. She says that you can't get to courage without walking through vulnerability. And I think that that was such a powerful thing for me to think about. If you think about anything that you've ever done in your life that was scary, that was difficult to do, you had to get vulnerable in order to do that thing that was so scary. You have to put yourself out there in whatever way it is in order to accomplish whatever that goal is that you're trying to get to. Just think about reaching in for a first kiss, going for a new job.
Performing in front of a group of people that you've never met before.
Yes.
I'm speaking personally.
But speaking in front of groups, at work, having a family, getting married, any of these things that you've done that are big in your life, they take vulnerability in order to reach those goals. And once I started thinking about vulnerability that way, it was really transformational for me because it's so true. You can't be courageous. You can't get to that place of courage without being vulnerable. So in truth, vulnerability is courage. It's a scary place to go. It's an uncomfortable place to be. And allowing yourself to be seen and heard and vulnerable is truly courageous. Allowing ourselves to feel, to share openly, to expose parts of ourselves and make those parts vulnerable to judgment or attack can be incredibly frightening for many people, including myself. But the truth is that growth and change can only really begin with the courage to be vulnerable with each other. And if I think about the biggest transformations that you and I have had in our relationships, they've really come as a direct result of us being incredibly vulnerable, of us just really digging in, peeling back all the layers and getting to the root and putting ourselves completely out there. So the moments when we lay down our egos and our judgment and our defensiveness and allow ourselves to truly be seen by each other can have a huge impact on a relationship. The question is, why is vulnerability so important? Well, for one, it builds trust. It builds connection. It allows us to feel a sense of belonging. It increases our empathy and compassion for each other. It allows us to work through conflict and challenges in a really productive and compassionate way. It allows us to express our needs. And really, truly, at the end, it just deepens our intimacy. And in those moments, that's when change can begin to happen. And as I've said, vulnerability has been an incredibly long journey for me. It's difficult for me to open up. And I don't know where that stems from in my past, but somewhere along the way, I did get a message that vulnerability is weakness, that I'm not supposed to show all that stuff. So it's been a process for me to learn how to do that with you.
And the flip side for me, it's I have no problem just being completely out and open and with anyone and making a fool of myself and, you know, accepting the judgment that comes with that and really not caring. So for me, the judgment really doesn't stick nearly as much on me as it always has on you.
And you just hit on a very key component that the reason it's so difficult to put yourself out there is that fear, as we said in the beginning in the definition, it's that fear of attack. It's that fear that someone's going to judge me for what I say, that you might judge me or think bad of me for what I say or do, or how, if I allow you in, then maybe it won't be received well. And that's why being vulnerable is so incredibly scary to do. It's that fear of judgment. And I do fear what people think of me a lot more than you do. And that includes you. I fear what you might think of me.
I would venture to say in our relationship, one of the vulnerable points for me is to understand that our sexual desires are on different levels. And I'm a higher desire level than you. And to really share that difference was really tough for me.
To share your actual real feelings about it.
Yeah, my real feelings and to, you know, in fear of something's wrong with me and you're not going to really truly like the person I am. And I believe you probably felt the same way on the other end of the spectrum.
For sure. Yeah.
I mean, and so it was a consistent digging deep on how vulnerability is going to take this relationship and continue to propel it forward. And in doing that, really had to get down to figure out, why can't I tell you that I really want you now? I felt wrong for doing it. And I felt wrong for feeling the feelings of, you know, desire because I knew you weren't matched with me, you know, at that particular moment. And the more we did peel back the onion, as you said, and really share with each other and really getting vulnerable, the better and better and better it got. I mean, how incredible is it now that I literally I don't feel like I don't hide anything on that level. And I don't feel like you do either.
Right. I think it's important to realize that you can't fully be seen. You can't be complete and whole as a couple if you're not willing to go to those places that are scary. And what ends up happening if you're not willing to go there is you kind of walk on eggshells a little bit, tiptoeing around topics that you don't want to go there on. So if your goal is to have a truly intimate relationship, to really know the ins and outs of each other and to really be connected on a really deep, deep level, that's the way to go there. Because before, you and I are kind of tiptoeing around these topics. We didn't want to go there. We're afraid to go there. Like, what's going to happen if I go there? What are you going to think of me? Are we going to have an argument? And sometimes we have to push through all that discomfort.
Which, when we did tiptoe around those topics, it would lead me feeling like I'm not understood.
Yeah.
And I feel bad. And it's kind of like a vicious cycle of that you're trying to get out of versus just really being open and just saying, this is who I am, where I am. Are you there? No. Okay. How do we figure out how to meet somewhere?
Yeah. And what a freeing feeling it is when you can truly begin to be yourself, when you can really truly begin to be vulnerable and put yourself out there and have it be well received on the other end is such a beautiful and really special thing that we've begun to really discover in our relationship, that ability to truly wholly be ourselves.
So obviously that is on the topic of sex, which very intimate, but I'm curious, Tammy, have you had a time recently where it was difficult for you to have the courage to share?
Yes, very recently, actually. And you're well aware of it now, but at the time I wasn't able to share. And a couple months ago in our neighborhood, we had a very violent occurrence happen. And it was in our city, and I was just like rocked and shocked by what had happened. And I didn't realize how truly deeply it had affected me, but I began to have trouble sleeping. I didn't feel safe anymore. And I didn't talk to you about it because I was feeling like, well, it didn't happen to me. I don't know anybody that it actually happened to. I wasn't involved in any way in this occurrence. So I felt like, well, if I shared that with you, maybe you were going to think that I was silly, something's wrong with me. And I thought that about myself. Like, this is so ridiculous. Why are you feeling this way? Why are you can't even sleep? Like, why are you feeling so unsafe? And I just really struggled to say that to you. And it kept going on for a few weeks. And I don't know what the tipping point was, but I finally, I think it was really you just saying, what is going on with you?
Like, that's what it was. I just kept like, something's not right. Something's off. What is going on?
Yeah. And
then tears when this,
and then the floodgates kind of opened. Yeah. And I shared what I had been holding in for 3 weeks. And I felt so good being able to get that off my shoulders. And you received it so well. Of course, you didn't tell me I was silly and that there was something wrong with me. You understood and you made me feel like I was normal. And like, it was okay to share with you. And then I felt dumb for not having shared with you before. Like, why did I choose to keep that in? It's so silly. But that's the struggle there with vulnerability, is that fear that it's not going to be received or there's something wrong with me and I don't want to let people in on that. But once I was able to, and I got it off my shoulders, it really allowed me to begin to process that whole thing in a different way, rather than holding all those feelings in. I was able to show them all and let them all out. And then I began to heal. It took a while, but I really began to process through and heal. So it was a lesson, again, in the power of vulnerability and how important it is for me to put myself out there, even when it's scary to do so. So if we really want an intimate relationship, if we really want to be that connected with our spouse, there are three things that we need in order to be more vulnerable. The first thing we need is really to do the inner work of knowing yourself, knowing your thoughts and your feelings really well. Really work on your own self-awareness. And self-awareness is such a huge lesson that Joel and I have learned and something we continuously dive deep into. You can't really effectively express what you are feeling or thinking to someone else if you don't know what is going on first. The more you know and understand yourself, the better you will be at helping someone else understand your thoughts and feelings. So I know you and I are always saying that change, if there's any change that you're looking for in your relationship, in your life, it really truly starts from within. So I think this is absolutely key to vulnerability is self-awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to tell you, one of the biggest strengths I've always said with you is that I feel like you know me sometimes better than I know me. You're always telling me like, what's the root of this? It's hard for me to think on a level of why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling until you have me, you're forcing me to dig deep and like, you know, really kind of unbury whatever was down in there so that I can bring it out and make sense of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And self-awareness is, we all have our strengths and your strength is vulnerability. It comes easy to you. My strength is self-awareness or an awareness of the people around me and an understanding of them maybe before they kind of understand themselves. I get emotions and I understand what people are feeling. So that does happen sometimes. And I may get that about you, but it may take you a while. But the key is that you have to then do the work and understanding where everything is coming from for you and checking in with all these emotions and feelings and getting that about yourself. And the more you're able to do that, the better you're able to help me understand even more deeply and truly, like what really is going on with you? What do you actually feel? And it just connects me so much more deeply to you. And it creates such a place of empathy and compassion when I can truly understand you at a very deep level. So self-awareness is just a huge component, I think, of a happy, healthy marriage in general, but certainly a huge component of vulnerability. The second thing we need is courage. Like we said, it's the ability to be uncomfortable, to expose the parts of ourselves that are hard to expose because we're nervous and scared and risking our outcomes of what's going to happen when we share those sides of ourselves. And really, those outcomes are not things that we can control. And that is the scariest thing about vulnerability. But courage is choosing to do it anyway.
So whereas step one, you really helped me, you know, have an introspective and really kind of peel back my own onion layers. Whereas this one, I feel like I'm hopefully very helpful for you on encouraging you to be courageous, put yourself out there more, stand up for yourself. I know how important it is to you as a individual. And of course, I know how beneficial it is to you in our relationship.
Yes. And getting to the root cause of problems that we've struggled with for many years in our relationship, we can't resolve it unless we're willing to be vulnerable and unless we're willing to be courageous to go there. So be courageous. And the last thing, the third thing that we really need in order to be more vulnerable in our relationships, and maybe this is the first thing, is creating a safe space inside the relationship to receive your partner's vulnerability.
Yeah, that's so, I know, I feel like I say this term all the time. It's easier said than done.
Of course.
It's so easier said than done.
And it really is, because when somebody is being vulnerable, if I'm being vulnerable with you and I'm sharing a thought or a feeling with you, the natural tendency is to have your own opinions about it, your own thoughts, your own feelings about it, your own judgments about it. And in order to really truly receive that vulnerability and creating a safe space, we have to put all that aside. You got to put your ego and your thoughts and your opinions aside in order to kind of create this cushion that allows me to be vulnerable with you and vice versa. And that's been an incredibly difficult thing to do, learning how to put our own stuff aside so that I can hear you and see you truly.
Yeah, that's not just you. It's been hard. It's hard for me too,
yeah.
Obviously. I think you've done a really good job. You're amazing at making it safe, at helping me and ultimately you put your defenses down when we really do need to talk. Mm-hmm. We really need to talk and we really not need to not be defensive and just hear what the other person needs to get off their chest or needs to share or needs to dive into.
you've done an amazing job as well at learning how to create a safe space for me. Just as an example before about the difficulty I had in being vulnerable, when I shared that with you, you didn't make me feel bad or silly. You don't laugh at me. You don't judge it. You just listened. And that's truly what I needed in that situation. And I think really so often what we need when we're sharing these deep, intimate thoughts and feelings is somebody that's just going to be willing to listen and hear and not laugh or judge, just to absorb. And you've gotten really, really good at that over the years. You've just done better and better and better and better at it. And it's created such a safe place in our relationship. Every time you show me that it's a safe place, it builds more and more trust and reminds me, oh, next time I'm struggling, I can do this again.
Well, I think you're giving me a little bit too much credit because I have a great coach. I have the best. I mean, you know, when it's a time where I need to talk and have to get something, have to share something where I know it's uncomfortable for me, you never, ever, ever make me feel uncomfortable or ridiculous or shamed at all for going there.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I'm sure that's not true 100% of the time. I'm sure there's been plenty of times I've made you feel bad about what you said. But it is a practice that I try really hard to put into play, that when you're sharing something, that I'm going to set my own crap aside and try to be just a good listener. So as I said, this might be the most important thing in vulnerability, is creating that trust within the relationship. And the way to create the trust is just to practice it. And every time your partner is vulnerable with you, to respect and absorb that and hear that and give them that cushion that they need to know that they are safe in sharing those very deep and intimate things with you. So begin to practice allowing your partner to share without judging. Begin to practice listening for the sake of understanding and supporting. Create a space where you acknowledge each other's feelings so that the vulnerability can flow.
Well, it goes without saying why this topic is in our top 10 life-changing marriage lessons.
For sure. An incredibly important topic, one that we are practicing every single day and will be till the day we die. And we truly understand and believe in the power of vulnerability has made a huge impact in our relationship. And I hope that you find that within your own relationship. And if you are struggling in this area, you want to deepen your intimacy, then think about the three things that you need in order to practice more vulnerability. And again, those were self-awareness, courage, and creating a safe space for vulnerability to be shared. And we thank you so much for joining us today. We will continue this series that we're doing with lesson number 3 of the 10 life-changing marriage lessons with you next time. And Joel does not know what that topic is, so it will be a surprise. These are life-changing marriage lessons, I guess, that I've come up with. So maybe I should ask you what you think of your life-changing marriage lessons. But if you don't agree with them, you'll let me know, right?
Absolutely. So far, I'm like, oh my gosh, these are so good.
You can be vulnerable with me and I will listen and hear.
Thank you for creating such a wonderful safe space. I appreciate it, my love.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember to subscribe, leave us a review if you can. That would be so very helpful. It helps us get out and to be seen in more and more places and help more and more couples. And you can also subscribe to Married and Naked. You will find in the description notes a link to leave your email. And if you do that, I will be sure to send you a weekly email to let you know of upcoming events, any new podcast episodes, which is a great way to keep in touch with Married and Naked. And until next time, be vulnerable with each other and have a great week.
Take care, guys.